Here we go. Oh, I got some stuff today on Red Bull. might as well make this thing a killer all the way to the end. On energy drinks. And the unhealthy potential dangers of energy drinks, because they're like coffee, only worse. And the one, I just say this one thing here, the one, there's a small percentage in some countries they have found cocaine as one of the ingredients. It's like Coke had cocaine in it when it was first made too. Here we go. Anyway, Red Bull has cocaine in it.
Really?
In lots of places in this country, they quit selling it because they're discovering minute quantities of cocaine. It's not good for people with under stress, those with high blood pressure, or established esteroscleriotic disease. And it's over drinking too much of it, like a six-pack, as you watch the football game. Postural osteotic tachycardia syndrome in young people. A lady died after drinking four cans of Red Bull and several VKs. A vodka-based, well, of course, you're going to do that. High big on caffeine. So it's just funny that this thing has turned into what it's turned into. A comment about a Red Bull drink, which is a Christian booze. There we go, Christian booze. These energy drinks are Christian booze. Just like saying gosh is Christian swearing, energy drinks are Christian booze. That ought to bring the emails in, I'll bet. Okay, here we go. I would like to talk about something I've been hearing lately. And I'm amazed to hear it, but then again, considering sources and things, I suppose not. But that's the fact that we're living in a day and age where this Bible is almost 400 years old. And try to divide this Bible, which means you follow Paul, which means you look at what it is that Paul teaches, more and more people are coming up with the fact that Paul is not practical. It's just, in this day and age, come on, we got cars, we have to do what we have to do. If you want to work, we have to work. If we want to have a second income, or if we need money in the first place, we have to do what we have to do. We've got to train our girls to be guys, because I got to say this today. One got the car washed today, and who do you suppose is washing the car? It's a flock of girls. Then at the very end, a guy comes straggling out of the back room, tattoos on his leg, and just kind of waddled out there and kind of brushed the car down a little bit. I just couldn't get over it. Where else did I go today? But okay, now come on. It's not practical for girls to be girls and guys to be guys. It's not practical for girls to stay home. It's not practical for guys just to be the ones working. I mean, this is what they're telling me. This is what I hear. When you say something like, Paul is not practical today, I don't believe that. And it really stirred me up, because to me it's a cop-out. It's an excuse not to look at Paul. So I thought we'd look at some verses here tonight and say, so this isn't practical. For example, let's go here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Practical meaning, it isn't possible. It just doesn't make sense to try to do that today, because it's going to cause too much trouble. It's going to cost you money for the material. It's going to cost you the job, because, you know, you need to do what you need to do. We're forced into this. We have no choice, as a phrase is becoming. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. This is the story we did Sunday night. I hope out there in the web world out there has listened to the Sunday night sermon here. Ah, I see a lot of text going on out there. I hope I'm not talking during the sermon here. Oh, yes, a shame on them. What's a red dot on them if they can't behave? Anyway, 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Well, apparently, the verse 16, at my first answer, at the very beginning, no man stood with me. Apparently, Paul's discussion here wasn't going to be very practical. Mm-hmm. So they left. That by me the preaching might be fully known. Well, apparently, being preaching by Paul is not practical. And then all the Gentiles might hear. Apparently, it's not practical that the Gentiles hear about the risen Savior. Just it isn't a good thing to do. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Now, we got this whole list of things here. This know also in the last days, perilous times should come. So we know we're not in the last days. I have to make sure I clear this up. We're not in the last days, but we're in latter times, last times. And this will be the way it will be during the last days. Well, it certainly rings a lot of closeness and familiarity right now, because these things are all starting to happen more and more. But apparently, to be the Bible Christian will not be practical. But this will be practical, because this is the way everything will be going on. And by the time you're done to the verse 6, for this of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Apparently, that's going to be very practical. That's what's going to be common. That's what people will accept. That this stuff is going to get into the homes, and it's going to change the girls. It's going to make them into guys. It's going to give the parents a chance for the girls to get out there and get a job with everybody else. And besides that, girls, you've got the law on your side. You've got everything for you. And that'll be practical. See, what's happened, people that believe the false gospel have gotten into the homes, and they're changing things within the home. And then when Paul comes along, or a preacher comes along with Paul, they say, well, now, Pastor, I appreciate that, but you know what? That isn't very practical. We need to have a second income. You know why you need to have a second income? Because you need the money. You know why you need money? Because God, your God is money. So Paul is not practical to these people. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. That verse 10 goes on to verse 10. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Well, see, apparently Paul's doctrine is not practical. Manner of life. Well, obviously, Paul's manner of life, his day-to-day living, just the way he is, it's not practical. And we read from Paul's writings what all the things that he teaches, and it's not practical. Now, do you know what I mean by practical? It's just this is the way it needs to be. And when somebody says it's not practical, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense, is what they're saying. And your kids are going to be taught some things that are different than what Paul would have us to be, and you're going to have to make a decision someday. Do I make this kind of a step with my modesty? Do I make this kind of step with my mouth? Do I make this kind of a step towards a proper kind of a husband? Do I wait for a husband? And then the men are going to have to be asking themselves, do I go get this job, or should I let my wife just do the work? I'll tell them to be a Mr. Mom. That's more practical. That's what they're going to be saying. And Paul's manner of life, his purpose, Paul's purpose, apparently to these people that say Paul is not practical, apparently Paul's purpose is not practical. This faith that Paul talks about, the faith of Christ, as well as your faith, you have the faith of Christ, they're telling me then you believe that the faith of Christ is not practical. And that's not right. That's not the way it can be. They're saying long-suffering, putting up with something, and long-suffering, being patient, that type of thing. Charity, patience, is not practical. Well, if it's done in this proper manner, of course it's practical. But to do it the biblical way is not practical. Charity done in a practical, if they're going to say charity is not practical, then they're going to twist charity and they're going to put it over the book. And they're going to say, well, we're just put up with everything. No, you're supposed to draw a standard. You're supposed to grow in judgment. And yes, you have charity, but if you're going to have charity biblical, it's not going to be practical. If you're gonna have long suffering, well, sure you have long suffering, and nobody's quick to jump the trigger. We try not to be anyway. But if you want to be the way the Bible says, Paul says, after a while, long suffering. But after a while, you've got to step away. You've got to walk away from this. You can't go down there. You can't be in that situation. You can't do this. You can't go there. See, that's not practical. So let's say long suffering. You're just always long suffering. Charity. You're always going to have charity. Patience. You're always going to have patience. You know what that is? That's ecumenicalism. That's modern Christianity. So what they're saying is, Paul is not practical. I don't agree with this modern Christianity, but I got to tell you, it's practical. We go to church, we'll sing, we hear a couple good messages, and have a good fellowship. See, that's practical. But for a guy to come along and preach Paul like Paul needs to be preached, I've become gun shy talking about people to Paul, because Paul's teachings are so impractical to these people. But it's not right. You've got to teach them the truth. We have to show them that I can't understand why you think serving the living God is impractical. So, let's look at some more verses. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. So, yeah, I'm stirred by that comment. I'm going to go through the sufferings of a pastor or a musician, whatever, missionary, whatever, a person that's able to preach these things and show people these things. I'm going to go through the frustration of people wanting to go, well, that's good, it's King James. No, this King James Bible is not even practical today. Nobody has one. Nobody wants one. It's not in any church anywhere. Let's get practical. Let's find a church where people don't argue about doctrine and things like that. Let's get practical here. No, let's not get practical. Let's stay with the truth. For example, Acts chapter 26, verse 16. This is when Paul met the Lord on the road. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things of which I will deliver unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Excuse me, Jesus. I'm sorry. I just don't think this is practical for today. We have to do this in a different manner. This is what they're saying. This is what I think they're telling me. And if anybody says, Paul is not practical, here's your ammo, folks. Where's my cam? Here's your ammunition tonight. Once again, we're going to feed you with the ammunition. Now, don't be afraid to put it in your sword and use it with long-suffering and charity and patience, of course. But don't become ecumenical. You have nothing to be ashamed of. We're not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and we're also not ashamed of Paul the prisoner, as it's put there. Mm-hmm. So it is practical. Of course it's practical. Man. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. What's wrong with that? And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So we're saying forgiveness of sins is impractical? Is it impractical? It doesn't make sense that Christ wouldn't impute sin? Because he's actually sins, because he's actually taken care of sin. The fact that Christ has taken care of sin, there's no longer, he takes care of the law, so there's no longer there for righteousness. Is that impractical? So should we go back to the Ten Commandments because that's practical? You know, that's just an amazing thing. Okay, look at Philippians chapter 4. What's the timer? 5:58? Wait a minute, it's not 5:58. What is this? Well, this is their time. 5:56 o'clock back there. Okay. I wonder. Philippians chapter 4, verse, what do you think I'm going to go to? 9. I can't even find Philippians time. Just sleepy or something. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Come on, that's not practical. Let's leave Paul out of this. Let's go back to the Gospels. Let's go back to the Beatitudes. That stuff is practical. Let's go to 1 Peter, because God will put the hammer down on you if you're not doing right. Well, that would make more practicality. No, it's not practical. Paul is practical. And seeing me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If you go up to verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's not practical. Because the result of that, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's not practical. Wait a minute. Have a lot of money, have a lot of fun, do a lot of activities, hanging the family together, and just do all these kind of things is more practical than prayer and being serious about being a Christian and being serious about being a Paul follower. That's practical. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue. Well, see, there's no virtue in things today. There's hardly anything out there that's true, honest, just, pure, lovely. You don't have a good report. Come on. This is not practical to follow and teach what you're teaching about Paul. I probably have to quit wearing this. I probably have to quit going there. I probably couldn't watch this at night anymore. I probably couldn't go to that place downtown. I probably couldn't be around some of these people anymore. Maybe I'd have to probably take away some of the friends from my kids. Because some of those kids are probably bad influence based on what you're saying. And that's not practical. My children need friends. They need to go out there and be able to have fun with people. And it's hot. Come on, it's not practical to stay hot. Let's get rid of the clothing. Let's go down to the place and let's do these things. That's practical. See, and that's That's what they're telling me when they say Paul is impractical. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You mean to tell me that doing what God would have us to do for His pleasure is not practical? Oh, I know. We'd rather do it ourselves and have what we have and do it to make ourselves happy, because obviously, if I like this music, well, then God must like it, because He hasn't chastised me yet, and so it must be okay. That's practical, that kind of a thing. Look at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, you know you can't stop doing that, so that's not even practical. There's always somebody to complain about something somewhere. Somebody's going to mistreat us or do something wrong. And if I just spend my whole entire life murmuring and disputing, that's just the way it is, because that's the way life is. That's practical. You got to be kidding to think you want me to stop murmuring and disputing. That's not very practical. That's what they're saying. That ye being be harmless and maybe blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now you know you can't do that. Well, so it's not practical. That's what they're saying. Holding forth the word of life that you have in your hands, the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's not practical. But it should be. It should be okay. Quickly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just got a bunch of verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. You folks don't know this, but this is a verse that started us looking at Paul a number of years ago, and the folks back there that are still there, every time we come to this verse, I say this every time, that this is where we got started, because it says here, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. We learn from Paul and his writings and his people there that we can learn how to walk and to please God. I remember that just clicked with me, like, you mean we actually can, because I had been taught that you can't, you know, the record saying we can't please God. You got the best you can, you got the judgment seat, and da-da-da-da. No, following Paul, you can learn how to please God. Amen. But according to some people, that's not practical. It's very practical. Look at chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Well, that's not practical. How do you pray without ceasing? You're just kind of always staying in tune with Him. And sometimes you do get off in your mind of some other things. But when you realize that this world is keeping us from thinking, from meditating, we've got music in our cars, we've got radios in our cars, we've got CDs going on all the time, we've got videos going on all the time, we've got noise all the time, we've got kids that have to let it out so they can get rid of their steam. So when they get a job, they have to take a time out. Oh, excuse me, boss, I need to take a time out. I'm getting pretty stressed at work here. Can I go take a time out? No. This is not where we are here. You pray without ceasing. That's okay. Turn something off. Go with the quiet. I like walking in the sidewalk out there. I haven't done the sitting in the back bench yet. We'll get to that here pretty soon. I like the quiet time. As a matter of fact, it was a couple of weeks ago, I was around somebody that popped in a modern video, and I felt this, I heard it for a couple of minutes, and I felt this overwhelming something. I recognized that I hadn't been around a video for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And I had fasted from videos, even the nature ones, the Lewis and Clark stuff, those kind of things. Documentaries and things like that. I mean, they're good information in the whole thing. But if you're not careful, the music that's in those things is there's something in that stuff that I hadn't heard before. I used to tell people to take a 1 month fast on music. Don't listen to music anywhere you go. And when you turn it back on, you'll know if it's good or bad music. I used to say stuff like that. But now you can't go anywhere you can't stay away from music. So pray without ceasing. Maybe praying without ceasing will help you ignore some of that stuff that's going on. Yeah, but come on. Preacher, this is not practical. We used to not go to stores in Rochester because they had music. I think that's what I think. I think my stories are never always right, but I think that we went to Freddy's or something when they started playing music in the store. We didn't like that, so we didn't go to that store. Well, if you're going to stay away from stores because they're playing music, well, you know, 20 years ago, you didn't go to stores because they were selling alcohol. Now they're playing crummy music. I realize, Pastor, that what you have to say about music is very biblically solid and biblically strong, but you know, it just isn't practical. Then I had a pastor tell us one time that, listen, what you're saying about music is totally correct, but you don't build the church on issues. So, it's not practical, is what he told me. That's okay, he gave me $1,000, I'm okay with it. I guess, doing it for the money, right, filthy lucre? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at another one here. We've got a bunch here. What are we doing for time? Doesn't matter, right? Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. I have to tell you, this is different. This is so different. But I do believe that we're going to end up in houses eventually. I know it's probably bad news that you can invest in a church building. But in due time, we're going to end up in houses with a few people. And then I don't believe we're even going to have everybody come over. We're going to want to make sure that they're serious, or they could cause trouble with us in the city, in the county, in the neighborhood, fathers and stuff. This is where this is going. So I guess I might as well get used to it, huh? And already there. Now we've got a website full of people out there that already do it in their homes, and we got more people that ought to be, the way it's going. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Is that what I said? No, we'll go there anyway. Colossians 1:21, he says, and you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we've been reconciled, okay, so that's good. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and provable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, I'm sorry, Pastor, but I just can't stay in there. I can't stand any longer. I can't do these things. It's not practical for me to continue fighting for my faith and what I believe. No, it is practical because Christ made it such. He's reconciled us. He's brought us together with Him. He's even brought us together with the Jews. And it's very practical. If you want to be a practical Christian, just follow Paul. I mean, that's just all you have to do. And if somebody within the family, within the home, or within the church, or the neighbors or whatever, we've got grace, and we remember, I'll see if I can do this thing. We've got grace, we've got mercy, we have to despise something, then we have to destroy it, and then we have grace, we have mercy. But with that grace, we always have to have truth, and eventually we have to pray, and there will be tears. And eventually there'll be the need for patience and long suffering. And before you know it, you're going to have to reprove and you're going to have to rebuke. And if that doesn't work, you're going to have to withdraw and pull away. Well, that's not very practical. No, but it's right. It's right. Paul would talk to people. When they give him a hard time but they want to hear it, he quit talking to them. That's practical. Paul is very practical. It's just common practical. Look at verse 28. Whom we preach, obviously Christ and you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What's perfect? Complete. Okay? Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So there, God's going to work in us, but it's not practical. That's what they're saying. You getting tired of me saying it's not practical? People don't believe that Paul's practice. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. That's what they're saying. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Whoa, wait a minute. Come on. There's so much more music out there than psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You can't possibly think that that's all we're going to do. That's not practical at all. I've got CDs and music tapes and soundtracks from movies and theater, drama productions that have got some great words. Yeah, but the music is not good. But that, you know, come on, be practical. You can't stay away from this stuff. Yes, you can. The risen Savior, the living God, wouldn't ask us to do these things. He wouldn't cover our behinds. He wouldn't take everything away. He wouldn't take care of sin. And he wouldn't give us that kind of grace. He wouldn't impute our, he wouldn't not impute or sins. They didn't say that, right? He wouldn't give us a Bible. He wouldn't teach us about rightly dividing the Word of God. He wouldn't give us people who care and try to push. And instead of caring and being pushed, they're accused of being the Holy Spirit of people, or they're accused of being followed. No, you got people, you got Jason, you've got Kenny that want to tell people, this is what the Bible says. You're not following Jason, you're not following Kenny, you're following the preaching of the Word of God. That's practical. So very practical. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, have we done that one yet? Well, we're doing that one. 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Is that practical? Sure it is. Okay, here we go. Here's a list. 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fitting. Oh, cut it out. That's not even practical today. Most wives are out there washing cars and what else did I see? They're just out there. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Oh, come on. You don't know who I'm married to. Fourth time. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's right. That's just the way it is. Now, the responsibility goes on the parents for making sure that what you're asking your children to do is correct, is right. Because, see, if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and you're old enough, and the parents aren't teaching you right, God says you can leave. That's practical. I mean, that's practical Christianity. But I hope that doesn't ever happen, to your point. I lost them. Okay. But the oldest one is listening. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. How do you do that? There's a million ways to do that. Oh, cut it out. How many fathers have been to father school? You know, you've been to father school. So what do we know? I'm mad. I'm angry. I guess I've got to get this thing done. Now, kids, shut up. Get out of here. Whack. And you keep that up, and you challenge them, and you preach at them, and you belittle them, and you criticize them, and you bug them for things that you're not capable of doing, so you want to make sure they do it anyway. In other words, listen to what I say, but don't follow what I do, kind of stuff. This stuff is not practical? Sure it's practical. Servants, you got a job, obeying all things your masters according to the flesh, which is why you're the boss. Because then you have to obey yourself, see? Not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That's not practical. You have no idea what it's like to work in this store, in this company. I'm talking about men right now, not ladies in stores. And you don't know my boss. He's terrible. No. Christ says through Paul, or Paul says to Christ, that the way a man can blaspheme the word of God is to argue with his boss. That's the man's problem as far as blaspheming the word of God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. That's not practical. Sure it is. Let's keep going here. We're looking at some time here. We're hanging the kid to sleep, so what's the problem? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. It's Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. See, there's where Paul does say that. One of the things you'll recognize that if there's something in the Gospels, or if there's something in the tribulation books that really makes sense and you really have to be followed, you'll find it in Paul.
Right.
And if there's things in the Gospels that Paul doesn't talk about, then we don't do those things. And this is why people say, well, sure, we follow Paul based on the Gospels. No, they follow the Gospels based on Paul. We study the Gospels, and Paul reiterates the right here kind of stuff. No, we look to Paul, and we know there's some things in there that Paul teaches that Christ taught to the Jews. Of course there are. But there are some things that Christ did not teach to the Gentiles that he taught to the Jews. And you've got to study out Paul to know that. Oh, it's just not practical. Just go back to your Bible and pick out any verse that makes sense. It makes a whole lot easier for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, and who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. So that's practical. That's something we're supposed to try to do. We're supposed to walk worthy as a Christian. Now we know that today's day, the day we're living in today compared to 100 years ago, I remember reading where 100 years ago in America, they were you were hired because you were a Christian. You didn't have to tell them anything else. If you're a Christian, they hire you. Now if you tell them you're a Christian, you can just hold a guarantee you're not going to get a job. So take I love God off your email or you're never going to work again. That's how it's getting to be. So it's just not practical, according to these people. No, we're supposed to walk worthy of God. We can't. We can. We actually can. And every time I say that, walk worthy of God, I want to go down the list. I want to go down sound doctrine. I want to go down Titus chapter 2. I want to go down Timothy. You know what it is? It's just flat works. It's just works. Our day-to-day walk should please God. I'll say it again. What we wear, where we go, how we talk, basic stuff. But it isn't practical today to the world standard. But it's practical to God because it pleases Him and it shows that you're doing the job as a Christian. That's what we should do. Fortunately, we don't have to live under the threat of God chastising us. Don't have to worry about Him blowing our salvation back. Don't have to worry about losing fellowship with Christ or with God. Don't worry about that stuff. That's why this is a dispensation of grace. But He has not lowered His standard. God still hates the stuff He hates.
Right.
Never has quit hating the stuff that He hates. It's just that He paid the price of that sin. He would rather have us still not do those things.
Right.
But He's got it covered. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. Chapter 2, verse 11. We did that, didn't we? Okay, we did that one. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Well, now that's just not practical. One Bible? Who are you kidding? There are so many Bibles out there that I could study. When I first got into this stuff, I had a parallel Bible. I had the RSV, I had the Living Bible, I had the King James Bible, and the Modern English Bible. Never read it, but boy, I felt pretty smart, because if I really ever wanted to read it, I could compare these four little parallel Bible verses in there. Is that okay? No, that's the Word of God, and there is only one. How can it be practical to have 300? It's more practical to have one that you don't have to worry about. Let's go back to the Greek. No, it's not practical to go back to the Greek. It's not practical to go back to the Hebrew. It's not even practical to go back to the Geneva Bible, the one before the 1611. It's practical to have one, and there's no question.
Good.
Amazing. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Now, this is not practical. This is not possible. You can't be this way or you won't be able to do anything. Verse 9, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, I'm sorry, that is not practical, according to these people. So that means you have to actually say some of those TV programs are not good. And after another couple of months or a couple of years, another year or so, or maybe even less than that, you might even realize that, man, I think it's best we don't even have that thing. Or you'll start putting on more clothes. You'll start talking softer. You'll start realizing that you're changing. And you'll read your Bible some more and you'll realize that, well, I can't do this either. I can't put those things all over my face. I can't do these kind of things. I can't keep cutting myself and jabbing myself and poking myself. That's wrong. You're growing in judgment. But listen, today, God loves everybody. And there's just not a problem with this stuff. It's just not practical. You're being very judgmental. So, no, we're supposed to grow that way. And like I said Sunday, more and more Christians, when they get a hold of this Paul, when they look and hear this Paul stuff, they amen and they say this is good stuff. But as soon as you pull Paul away from a little bit, they start going backwards. They don't seem to approve things that are excellent. They start to approve things that are not as excellent, and they're accepting them. That's not practical, see. But the practicality is you're supposed to grow in judgment. Your girls have a design in that Bible. And as you grow as a family, I hope that you can teach those girls how to prepare for what God would have them be. Not do, but be. And then if you ever do come along with a guy, maybe, you never know, then you got to teach this guy what he needs to do. He's the doer, and the girls are the beers. And they'll have the children, and they'll be at the home, and that's the way God would have it to be. But come on, it's not practical. You'll need to have as much money as you possibly can get. And you're going to get a little older, and you're going to want some more money. It's going to come a day where you're going to actually probably want a car. Then you can be independent. You can go where you want. You can do what you want. You can dress the way you want. You can talk. You can do all these things. You're independent. But maybe Dad would say, I don't think that's good for you. And then you're going to go, oh, thanks, Dad. I was getting that out of hand, wasn't I? Thanks for protecting me. Right. Oh. How are we doing? You're sick. When did we start this thing? Oh, 6:22. Here we go. Keep going. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. I'm bothered when somebody says Paul isn't practical. You're asking too much of me to be a Paul following Christian. And you know, when a parent would say that to the kids, I'm sorry, kids, but we're not going to do the Paul thing totally because it really isn't practical. I need to have you make some money. I need to have you get out there and do stuff. That's wrong. That's just plain wrong. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. This is in Colossians. This is written by Paul. This is written to us. We need to be willing to pray that God would give us a door of utterance. What are we going to utter? King James Bible, rightly divided. We're going to speak the mystery of Christ. You know what the mystery of Christ is? That's Paul's teaching, because it's been revealed to Paul. And all I want to say to these Baptist King James guys is that I hate to say this word, but I have to say it sometimes. Hello? Do you not see that that's what that says? If you want, you're praying for God to give you a chance to say something. Do you know what it is you're supposed to say? You're supposed to tell them about Paul and the mystery of Christ. It's been revealed through Paul. So we're supposed to tell. But it's not very practical because look at how big your church is. We've got room for four more people. We're crammed. We're full. We'd have to go into our extra room with a what do you call those TV things? We didn't have another room. A remote TV in the other room. It's going to be so crowded here pretty soon. What? Yeah, remote. Not remote. It's a. That is in the nursery back there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. No, it's not practical to the world's end, but it's practical according to God. And I'm bothered by that. The people who say they're Paul still say Paul is impractical. I'm sorry, that is a cop-out. That's an excuse. Amen. You're a chicken, and you just can't do what you know you need to do. Amen. And you can't stop doing what you know you need to stop doing, and you're going to use that excuse to get everybody else to think that it's not practical. I hope somebody stands up to you someday and says, I'm sorry. This is practical. And you stand up. That's what we need to do. And you pray for that opportunity, for that door to be opened of utterance, that you can tell people, this is what Paul teaches. And he says that, but then he says at the end of that verse, for which I am also in bonds. Ah. And this is why, Paul just says here, where's the can? This is where Paul says, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to say. And this is why I'm so in trouble. This is why I have people say what they say. It's because I am teaching the mystery of Christ. I have prayed and received an utterance to speak what needs to be spoken. And this is why things are the way they are. That's why Paul says what he says. So you got your wives sitting there thinking, okay, so my husband, I'm going to pray that he has the right thing to say to these people, and he has a door of utterance at work with the people he works with, or his friends, or church family, or whatever, past church family. And he's going to speak the mystery of Christ. But then you're going to say to yourself, but this is also why we're having such a hard time. Because it's not well received, and it's not practical. Okay, a couple more here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I know there's a lot of verses, but that's what I do. We did that verse already. That's not practical. We did that verse already. Let's go down to verse 13. But I would not have you to be there, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say, this is about the rapture. Go to the last verse, 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm sorry, but this rapture thing, it's just not practical. This is not practical. So why would you get comfort talking about that? Because it's very practical. Somebody is going to get raptured someday. Whether it's us, I don't know. But we're comforted in knowing that that could happen. Someday. It could happen to us. It could happen to you. You may not have to die. I'm hoping that it happens to me because I don't want to die. Because I don't want to die in the thing. I'm like that. But there's comfort in knowing that we will not get caught up in this tribulation.
Amen.
We will not be caught up in the tribulation. It's going to get close to us and it's going to hurt us a lot. But we're not going to get caught in it. There's comfort in knowing that. Let's go here to Galatians. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. You know, people often ask me questions about whether how do we do something, what should we do. And I believe without any shadow of a doubt that all things are lawful. So you can do it if you want. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Says right there, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. Remember, you took care of the law. Nothing's going to be imputed. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Well, you know, it's just not practical. I'm going to be under the power. You're going to be under the power of your coffee. You're going to be under the power of your Red Bull. You're going to be under the power of your cigarette. You're going to be under the power of your alcohol. You're going to be under the power of your flesh. And this world is throwing this stuff at us right and left. We can't even stay away from it. So let's be practical here. Let's just accept it. Let's teach our kids that stuff when they're young. So then they don't have to worry about it when they're older. They won't go through the shock because they've already seen the pictures and the stuff and the language and the perversions. And you know, if they get used to that stuff, which is why I don't like to see them on the street, they get used to this stuff, then you know, they're probably going to be happier. Some of their friends will probably have a perverted lifestyle or whatever, but you know, they'll be a whole lot easier to get along. So let's be practical here. These people, sure, they're wrong, but maybe they'll see it someday. So let's not be so judgmental, be so hard on it. Let's be practical here. The world's going to the dogs. It's going to the world government. So let's just back off. Let's just... No, we're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be that way at all. Yes, there's a liberty, but there are strings attached to that liberty. So if you want to ask yourself, should I or should we not do this? How do we do this? Ask yourself. Should somebody else be doing this? Well, ask yourself. If I can do this, and I always forget these things. Are you doing this because you can't not do it? There's a power over you on that thing. Is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? It's not going to cause anybody to stumble, but if you've got little kids standing around your household, you could cause somebody to stumble. Expedient, edify. Does it edify or does it chop down? Do you edify your children? Remember, I can't remember where the verse is at, but Paul says that he's here for not for destruction, but to edify. And that's one of the things that I have to be careful with, because it's easier to destroy something more than it is to edify. Well, we also know that Paul does say that modern Christianity does need to be destroyed. It does need to be despised. The magnificence of that thing does need to be destroyed. So we got to watch how he says and what it is that he means. Yes, there's things that we can do, but we ought not. But the liberty in Christ, is it practical? Well, sure it is. You grow in judgment, you quit doing those things. Hopefully. Now, let's just do a general thing. Timothy and Titus, what's the time here? Timothy and Titus certainly are practical. Timothy's got all these qualifications on pastors and men and deacons and women, wives, and then Titus. Oh, Titus is like is as impractical as possible. You can't be a Titus girl and wash my car at the car wash. It's just not possible. And that boy, that male, if he's even that, that's not practical. That's not, to them, that's practical, but it's wrong. So, I said it before. I think you've heard me say it before. That any troubles I've had within the church in my past is because Timothy and Titus. Those are the two books that stir people up. It's not practical. It's got to be practical. It's in your Bible. Paul wrote them. It's King James Bible. You have one in your Bible there, Pastor, who hates Paul. It's in your Bible. Okay. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and finish this thing up here a little bit here. I can't believe somebody would say serving the living God is impractical. But they have. They say it. What about a pastor? What should a pastor do? Should it be practical, or what is it that God would have him to do? How about a husband? What should a husband do? Is it practical, what Paul teaches? Does Paul teach a wife what to be and what to do? Is it practical? How about the children? God does tell us how to take care of these children, and it does teach them how to behave. But is it practical, according to the Bible? What about when you go to work? What's practical there? What do you do? Ladies versus women. Church members. What about a church member? How does a church member handle being a church member? You want to be practical and just keep peace no matter what's going on, or what is Paul teach? We'll probably look at that stuff Sunday if I don't make this into a series accidentally here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here's why I believe that people think that Paul is not practical. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Then we'll finish this up here. We lost all the kids. I got three more adults before they fall asleep, and then we're done. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Well, that's not practical today, because we have to have stuff. We just have to have stuff. We're not satisfied with what we have. Can I do this? I'll test you here. I better not. Yeah. Last night. Yeah. Can you handle it? Walking by the whatever those things are called, these little machines, the little plastic waste your money quarter things in there, and the kids and where's the camp? I got this. Who am I talking to here? See, it's okay to be this way. It's okay to be this way. And that's not okay to be this way. Be content. And he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Paul is not practical to people because money is their God. This is what he's saying. And to many, and they'll fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is why people don't think Paul is practical. Ladies couldn't work. It cost them money. Ladies got to dress modestly. That costs money to find that kind of stuff. Men have to do the right kind of job to provide for their family. That's hard to find. Then we live on what we make. That's not practical. And the government is making it so we can't even live on a one salary. It just can't. The insurance is just outrageous. The prices of things are just outrageous. But can we stand there? Can we stand there? What, is the judgment seat of Christ impractical? Because all of this is leading us towards the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 2:16, and we'll be done. Romans 2:16 tells me that my judgment seat would be based on Paul's writings. Jesus Christ would be based on Jesus Christ as the judge, of course. But it's not practical. Well, of course it's practical, because this is all leading us to our judgment seat when the time comes. It's not leading us to the Bema seat, That is a Greek bunch of baloney. It's just the judgment seat is the word for that thing. And 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16, rightly dividing is practical, because how else can you make sense of your Bible? And if they were to say that rightly dividing is not practical, that's just, they're crazy. Let's lastly go to Romans chapter 2. Verse 4. The simple statement that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. To most Bible people that are serious Bible people, that is not practical. We need to get out there and we need to scare them to death. We need to tell them about hell, and there's times you need to. I'm not going to deny that. But in the years that I've watched over these years, I have seen few people tell others about the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is what will lead people to repentance today. Nobody's willing to do that because it's not practical. Well, it is practical. It's the book. It's the King James Bible, rightly divided. The King James Bible is not a denominational book. It's against any and all denominations. It's the truth. It is the gospel of our salvation. It is the word of truth. And that's practical. So if somebody says, Paul is not practical, their God is money and happiness and joy or fun and that kind of stuff. So there you go. Amen. There we're done. There you are. So we all stand, which we don't have to because we're in a house here, but and then we'll dismiss and spread it for a couple minutes here. And don't know where this is going to go. We don't know what's going to happen in Salina and Lima and Chickamauga. That
Chickasaw.
There we go. I just like Chickasaw. That's a southern. Yeah, Chickasaw. Don't know. These people that you've already talked to and you've made your point, and I know you're concerned about some of the bridges you've lit on fire in the past, but in some respects there's a goodness to that because they will see that you're different. And they'll see that. And you never know. But the challenges are coming. Because I now realize that this is the message that the devil doesn't want to get out. This is the one. I don't think he even worries about the King James Bible anymore. Because if it's wrongly divided, it's still powerless. In lots of ways. A rightly divided King James Bible is a very dangerous book in this world. Very scary for us to deal with it, but that's practical. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to preach and teach. I thank you, Lord, for the folks back in Tusha that were there. I thank you for the folks that are here. I thank you for the folks that care enough on the website to have left their churches and left their friends and families, and not at their comfortableness or their enjoyable or the pleasing or the easiness of it, but they know what is true, and they want to go where it's truth is spoken. And your Bible is spoken, rightly divided. Help us, Lord, realize that most people don't believe Paul's teachings are practical. It's the way things ought to be. But and we fight that with our flesh all the time. We know that Paul did. And help us, Lord, just through the strength of your grace to continue on in spite of all the flesh and the hardships that we have and the disappointments and the hurts, that we have the joys and the satisfactions of not seeing any increase but knowing that we're preaching the truth. In season, we know that this is most definitely out of season. And I do pray for these kids here tonight that they learn these things and don't become like so many other children, if not all the kids out there, how they're just turning to the world because they don't see a King James Bible practical in their family's life. I thank you for this time to preach. I thank you for the families that have taken such good care of us to help us get out here and have treated us so well. I pray, Lord, for your guidance and our health to be able to do these things that would please you. Amen. Okay. You woke up. All right. Okay, website out there. There's still a few. Who we got there? We've got Troy. We got Gunkles, and we got some folks. Okay. So I will not turn off the website, Pal Talk, because I want to read the conversations that went on. So. We'll see you guys Sunday. We should be in a bigger room, in a building, and we will hopefully have video. I have to figure this video thing out, how to get that thing going. And we should have it all online here pretty quick. And been talking with some people about the Bible Institute we'll do online and get into some deep studies, or not deep studies, but some active studies to help you learn it. Not just hear it, but learn it. And then besides, I just want to, you guys, listen, a while ago I told folks not to email me because I'm too busy. Forget that. Email me. Write me. Tell us, go write to us. Tell us what's going on. And we need to hear from you. And Yakim out there in Germany, I know you're having a hard time, but stay with it. That the truth is more important. And if you need to learn English, just listen to my English. That ought to learn you a lot. So, you folks in the Ukraine, I need to hear from your brother about how things are going. We've moved. We're settled down. I'd like to hear from you. See what's going on. Amen.